price for both. Jesus gives us the price for living within God's will. Matthew, the 16th chapter, he says this: "Anyone who desires to follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me." Deny self. Self is the hardest person in the world to deny. Correct? Self says, me first. God says, no, the Spirit first, your family and neighbors second, and we're last. The flesh doesn't move in that direction, so it's a difficult price to pay. For the Christian, there's no crown without the cross. So what is God's will? Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 17 to 21. You may want to turn there with me if you'd like. We'll read what God's will is. Reading Ephesians 5, verse 17. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Breaking it down, what's he said? Don't be an alcoholic, a drunkard. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms. Give thanks always to the Lord in all things. This, and submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. This is the will of God. Live like that, or within the will of God. The price for living outside of God's will is found in Romans 8, 12 through 14. If you'd like, you can turn there with me. Romans 8, 12 through 14. Reading verse 8. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So we put to death the flesh, live for God. Oh, there's a price to pay. It's called death if we're outside of the will of God. When I was a junior in high school, Tim was a senior. Tim was the fullback on the football team. Tim was loud, boisterous, self-assured. Nothing bothered Tim. He would like to brag about how well he had everything under control. Well, Tim had a pickup, and he drove to school every morning. He lived 12 miles from school, didn't take the bus. And he had a habit of having a heavy foot. He'd drive 70, 75 when he would be coming to school. And this one morning, it was foggy. And you know how fog works. It can be lighter and then heavier and come on you all of a sudden. Well, he was driving his usual 70, 75, coming to school in a foggy morning. He should have been going 35. But he's Tim. He's self-assured. So it was semi-foggy, doing 70. He came to a corner, and all of a sudden it was thick fog. He couldn't see, and he ran off the side of the road. And waiting for a school bus that morning was a 12-year-old girl standing on the side of the road. Tim hit her so hard, that her shoes stayed on the pavement where she was standing, and she flew out of her shoes many feet. Died instantly, of course. In that moment, Tim was a broken young man. He was humbled. He was fearful. He didn't come to school for about a month, just recovering in his spirit, so to speak. But when he got back, he graduated that year, and Tim decided that he'd spend the rest of his life trying to save lives instead of taking them. So he went to school to become a minister and did so. In his foolishness, he took a life, but at the same time, he found his own. It's amazing. The born-again experience, one we all need. There are at least three ways that God reveals his will to us. One is through the scriptures, like, say, the Ten Commandments. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, if you'd like to turn there, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Gets that? Man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Everything is in the Ten Commandments. Think about it. What are the Ten Commandments? They're a love letter. The first four tells us how to love God. The last six tells us how to love our fellow man. The Ten Commandments is love. It's a love letter from God. God is love. Here it is, Ten Commandments. That's how he reveals his will to us. It's all there, the conclusion of the whole matter. Do this, and we've done it all. Number two, through impressions of the Holy Spirit. Again, I remember when I was a junior in high school, I had a lot of senior friends. And one evening, four of us were in a car driving around. I was in the back seat. One of my friends lived way up in the mountains. And he brought up a subject, and I was really surprised when he did, because none of these fellows had ever been in trouble. And I was surprised by the conversation. He said, I know where there's a summer cabin about a mile from where I live. Why don't we do something fun and go trash it? I thought, what? And so I was talking this around, and the other two fellows listening said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And as they're starting to make plans, the Holy Spirit was talking to me. And you know what peer pressure is with teenagers? Remember that when you were a teenager? It's tremendous. So I had to make a decision for God or against him. I'd attended the Presbyterian Church from age 10 to 16. Now I'm 17. I knew about Jesus. I knew about the Holy Spirit. I knew right from wrong. And I said, fellas, count me out. I don't want to know any more about it, because this is going to lead to something bad. Yeah, sure enough, it did. They did it a few weeks later. They got caught. Now the consequences. Name in the paper. Got a record. Photograph. Goes with you the rest of your life. I made a good decision because I listened to the Holy Spirit talking to me in my conscience. God speaks to us through his Spirit. That's another way he does. Third way, yielding or submitting our life to God. Psalms 25, 4 and 5, if you'd like to turn there. Psalms 25. 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. When does he show us his way? When we yield. How are we going to know God's will if we don't look and listen? That's when he shows us his way, when we're willing to follow and listen. Yield. Submit. Our trip to heaven is something like taking a backpack trip to a place you've never been. You ever done that? Surprise! There are things on the way that you didn't think you were going to see. And my wife and I, 50 years ago, when we were young and ambitious and could walk a few miles with a heavy pack, we decided to go on a backpack trip. We went with another couple that were friends of ours, and they had a dog named Rip, and we took our son was about 12 and our daughter was about 10. We thought we'd go to this place sound fascinating, Deception Lakes. Interesting name, Deception Lakes. Well, there was another lake. We figured we'd camp there for the first night, called Hyas Lake. Went over Snoqualmie Pass up in northern Washington. And you come to Hyas Lake. It was a gorgeous place. You could drive right to it. Beautiful. So we camped there. We're going to take off in the morning for Deception Lakes. So we enjoyed the evening by that beautiful lake. Got up in the morning, had breakfast, broke camp. 8 o'clock, we're on the trail to Deception Lakes. And the sign said 7 miles. And to this day, I believe that was crow miles. You know how a crow flies? Boy, that was the longest 7 miles I've ever experienced in my life. And I figured, okay, with my experience of backpacking, I think, okay, we can make 2 miles an hour. 4 hours, yeah, we're there. Noon, we're there, having lunch. Pain is over. It's going to be fun. So we took off. I forget what the elevation gain was, but it was a big elevation gain. And we're going up the trail. It's up all the way. There's no flats. No, no. We're on a side hill all the way. And it's like this. And an hour goes by, 2, 10 o'clock. Sun's getting higher, getting hotter. 11 o'clock, hotter. 12 o'clock, 4 hours. We're not there. Where's the lake? Maybe that's how they got their name, Deception. You think you're there and you're not. And there we are on the trail. I look back at the troops I was leading. They're wiped out. They're done. But we found a waterfall right alongside the trail. Oh, that was great. Get refreshed. Wonderful. No place to camp because we're on a side hill. Trail's the only place you could sleep. It's about 3 feet wide. That's it. I looked at the troops. Man, they're done. The dog was even done. He couldn't make it. I thought, oh man, what are we going to do here? I wanted to make it up there. Because it's just over the bend, you know? It's just up there. I kept looking, just up there. Well, it's got to be at the top of the mountain. And I looked up there and I could see the top of the mountain about 1/8 of a mile away. But I didn't think the troops were going to make it. I said, let's push on. I think it's right up here. Oh, let's camp in the trail. We'll just roll our bags out here and spend the night. Oh, man, I didn't want to do that. I said, I'll tell you what. You get refreshed here by the waterfalls. I put my pack down. And I said, I'll go up and find the lake. And I'll come back. So I did. I went up the trail, not running. Walking, I got up to the top, walked about 150 yards, sure enough, there they were, two beautiful lakes side by side. Oh man, I was so excited. So I ran back down, got there, hey, folks, It's right up there, just a little ways. Let's press on. Let's press on. Okay. They put their packs on, and we made it up to the lake. And everybody agreed it was worth the pain, the suffering, to go that last eighth of a mile to get there to Deception Lakes. Do you feel like that? We're in the last days, folks. People are tired, worn out. Bodies are falling apart, so on and so forth. We need to go to Napa, get new parts. You know how that goes. But we're almost there. Don't give up. It's almost there. It's just up there a little ways further. But sometimes we just feel like camping here. I don't want to camp in this world. How about you? I'm looking forward to the next. Hang on, brother. Hang on, sister. We're almost there. Matthew 7:13. Let's take a look at that. Reading verse 13, Matthew 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Yeah, I'll bet a lot of people never found Deception Lake when they took off on that trail. 7 miles. 7 crow miles. But pursue, because the reward is worth every bit of it. Living within God's will is forgiving one another. How important is that? It's life or it's death. I'll never forget, in a church in Northern Washington, again, way back in Mary's past and mine, we were members there. It was Communion Sabbath. Men were in this room, about 20 of us. And we were just about finishing up. And one brother I'll call Brother C, and one brother I'll call Brother B. Brother C made an announcement. He said, as most of you men know in this room today, there's been a lot of tension between me and Brother B. Well, I'd like to bury the hatchet right now at this time. Brother B, I'd like you to forgive me for the way I have been towards you. Brother B had his back to Brother C, putting on his jacket and what have you. And everybody just froze in time, waiting for this moment. What's Brother B going to do? Brother B put on his jacket. He kept his back to Brother C. And we all just froze for probably a minute, seemed like 10. Brother B didn't say a word, didn't turn around. Didn't go to Brother C. So after another minute or two, you could hear a pin drop. Nothing happened. So everybody left the room. Well, Brother B, who wouldn't forgive Brother C, was working in Alaska about 6 months later, and he just fell over dead. Brother B died without forgiving his brother. How serious is that? It's life and it's death. Let's forgive one another, folks. Forgive one another. We all stand in the need of forgiveness, don't we? We're all sinners. We're all broken. Forgive one another. That was the most amazing thing I saw. I thought, wow. It just broke our hearts to think about, what are you doing, Brother B? What are you doing? Why is your heart so hard? How would you do that? Before we make a decision, it would be wise to ask a few questions. Number one, is this decision consistent with God's word? Number two, will it bring glory to God? Number three, what are the consequences? Number four, can I honestly expect God's blessing? Number five, do I have genuine peace about this decision? Number six, will my actions fit with who I claim to be? In this same church, Northern Washington, we're members of, we're going to have an evangelistic series. There are going to be four speakers, elders of the church. I was one of them. So we got brochures made up. We had pictures taken of all the speakers. All four of us lined up there, top of the brochure, where it's going to be, what's going to be discussed, so on. I took one of the towns to the east, or I should say the town, to the east of our church. Another fellow that was several years older than me at the time took the town to the west of the church. And we went to just about every door in the town, gave out these brochures about the meeting. And at several of the homes I stopped at, a person would look at the brochure and say, is this person going to be one of the speakers, really? Yeah? I won't be there. Oh, really? Well, this happened frequently. Got back to the church. The other man who came from the other town said, did you have the same problem I did? You mean about picture of brother so-and-so? Yeah. I had a lot of that. So the night of the meeting came. How many people do you think came? Zero. Zero. Will my actions fit with who I claim to be? Will they fit? Just one person in the body of Christ can wreak so much damage just by the way we live. You want to be a missionary? You want to be an evangelist? Be a good citizen. Be a good neighbor. That's evangelism. That's where it starts. You can put a pall over the whole church, over everything, if it's not correct. Let's look at a few examples of people that stepped outside of God's will. Who are the first ones you think of? Adam and Eve, who I think of. Yeah, how did that work out? Adam and Eve stepped out of God's will. They had the simplest test God could give them. Beautiful garden, eat anything you want, go any place you want, except one place. Satan will not have access to you in any place in the garden except one. One little spot, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What was the good in the tree of knowledge of good and evil? The fruit. Nothing wrong with it. What was evil? The presence of Satan. God did not want them to know evil, just good. Stay away from the tree and you'll know nothing but good. You're candidates for eternal life. And our planet would have been a whole lot different if they just would have stayed away from that one tree, one place that Satan had access to him. Now he's got access to us everywhere, except in our mind. That's one thing he can't read. Thank God for that. Can't read that. And then, of course, we have people in Noah's day. They had 120 years to get ready for the flood. But they had a lot of so-called wise men in their day like we do now. Don't worry, folks. Just because you see the animals coming into the ark two by two, when did that happen? Never before. What a miracle. Their hearts were so hard. And their so-called wise men were calming their fears, but they still, even though many were impressed that they should, didn't because of peer pressure. Peer pressure. So we know how that turned out. Israel, entering the promised land, send 12 spies into the land, find out if it's good. So they went in. It was great. They brought back produce, fruit, huge, beautiful. 10 of them said, we can't go in because they're giants there. They're just too big. We can't fight them. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. Let's take it. They didn't trust God. And so he sent them back out into the wilderness. And everybody died that was over 20 years old. Millions of bones out there right now in the desert, buried in the Sinai Peninsula somewhere. A lot of people died because of unbelief. That didn't work out well at all. No. Trust God, kind of like our Sabbath school lesson today. Carol is leading out. We need to what? We need to trust God. Trust Him. Wait on the Lord and see His salvation, not the way we think it's going to be. Then there was Israel and Judah. When Samuel was a prophet, the people said, Samuel, you're getting old. Your kids aren't following the Lord anymore in the sanctuary. Give us a king so we can be like the nations around us. And Samuel was perplexed. What do you people want a king for? You have a king. God is your king. Can you beat that? God is your king. He knows everything. He'll give you nothing but the best decisions. And you want an earthly king. Yeah. Well, God told Samuel, don't worry, Samuel. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. So go ahead and give them a king. But tell them what's going to cost them. So he told them what's going to cost them. But take your sons, put them in the army. Take your daughters, make servants out of them. You're going to pay 10% just for the king's crops, extra, on and on it goes. And you want a king? Yeah, give us a king. These are bright students, real bright. Yeah, give us a king. So, gave us a king. How did that work out? Between Israel and Judah, there were 39 kings. And as you look through the lives of these 39 kings and how they led God's children, how many of them were a blessing out of those 39? Six? Seven? Maybe? Maybe eight. At least 30-some that were a curse. Yeah, that worked out great. God's plan or man's plan. I'm telling you, it doesn't make sense at all. So the scripture says, Jesus is the light of the world. And when we walk in the light, we're walking with Jesus, right? What if we're not walking in the light, we're walking in the darkness. And those who walk in the dark, the Bible says, stumble and fall in the ditch. I want to walk in the light. How about you? And it's hot today. So if the song leader would come up and have the closing song, we can get cooler.